was born, then the spirit lit the flame. Now and good morning. If you have your Bibles, open it up to 1 Timothy chapter 4 as we look at 11 through 16 and the first two verses of chapter 5. I hope that encouraged you as much as it encouraged me when I saw it on Monday. You guys have heard me numerous times. We just celebrated a year, so in the next 4 years, we will plant another church out of Victory Church. Not because it's the cool thing to do, it's because of what God has called us to do. We see it all throughout Scripture. We see that it is easier to reach people for Christ by sending just a small number than we can do by ourselves. And in this text, Paul's telling Timothy, look, you're young and you've experienced a lot in just the first three chapters, but just hold on, it's about to get even bigger. And he says, don't let anybody despise you for your youth. Don't let your age, don't let your experience, let it be a factor. I remember when I was 27 years old, our associate pastor at my former church left, and our senior pastor came to me and said, hey, do you want to move into this role? And I said, absolutely. And I remember there was a handful of people in our church that supported me. They loved on me, they were good to my family, but their biggest concern was, he's too young. He's too young. And it hurt a little bit, but all throughout Scripture you see God using younger people to do big things. Timothy was between the 25 to 32 years old, and Paul sent him to the church of Ephesus to fix something. I promise you, in that moment, being an associate pastor in New Haven, Missouri, was a lot easier than going to the church of Ephesus and kicking people out of the building. Experience didn't matter. He tells us in this text that we're about to see is that experience and all these things doesn't matter. He says, don't let anybody despise you with these things. Be faithful in your speech and your purity and some other things. But then he says one thing that really, really matters is he says, stay faithful in preaching the word. Stay faithful to what God's called you to do. Just stay faithful. Because we read a text this morning in our call to worship is 2 Timothy told us that even when we're not faithful, he stays faithful. So can you imagine if individually, if we stay faithful, what God will do? And if we just stay on the task of what he's called us to do. And so you've heard me say it numerous times that from a year ago, that everything we do moving forward is so that we can say in the first 5 years that we've planted a church somewhere in the United States. I still don't know where that is, and I'm still praying. Hopefully you guys are praying. But I'm praying that the person who leads that church plant is in this room right now, or will be in this room at one point. How awesome would it be is if we raise up a leader in our church, maybe some that somebody didn't see coming, that's young or older, and we can send them with a group of people to just go reach the kingdom, because that's what it's about. If you saw that, I don't remember the exact number, but at the very end, there was about 15 to 16 churches that have started just from one 20 years ago. Matthias Lott, the one that started it, they only meet on Wednesday night, and they've got like three or four services. They're huge. And that's not the reason they started planting. You heard Jason Zelmer, who is in charge of church planting for the state of Missouri for the North American Mission Board. He said there was 30 to 40 people just meeting in their house, and it said it's time to go reach more people for the kingdom. We can do more together than we can by ourselves. A church is not supposed to be here to build the building or to build the people up in this building. Our church is here to worship the King, and as he sends us out, to bring more people to worship the King. And so throughout this text, I want us to look at two angles. As a church as a whole, where we're going in the first 5 years of our existence, and how you can be a part of it, and where you need to be in your life. That's my prayer. Father, let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. Father, we ask for you just to move in a mighty way. We ask for you to just open our hearts, be acceptant to what God is calling us to do, and how we can be obedient. God, you're so, so good, and you're so faithful, and Lord, I pray that we're faithful back. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, open up again to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the beginning of 5. Today's sermon is called Building from the Ground Up. The goal and the theme is from life to legacy, is to live the gospel, build the family, and leave a multiplying movement. I want to read these three things that I read and kind of studied throughout this week that kind of stood out to me. Just to set the context a little bit, is every building starts with a foundation. It's a foundation is weak, no matter how tall or impressive the structure looks, it won't last. Paul is writing to a young Timothy, a pastor tasked with building the church in Ephesus, and he reminds him, your life, your example, your relationship, and the culture you build will determine whether this movement stands strong and generous. And we're going to talk about our life into moving into a legacy. That first point that we see in the text is your life is your first sermon. Your life is your first sermon. Let's look at verse 11 through 16. Paul tells Timothy, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. I want to pause there before we move a little bit closer. As you see in verse 11, Paul tells Timothy to command and teach these things. Let's go backwards just a little bit. We see in the beginning of 4, as we talk about Paul was telling Timothy that some people were leaving the faith. We've established that the faith that they were talking about was this false who Jesus was. He was a false Jesus. They established a fake Jesus that made him somebody they wanted him to be, and they were teaching people to come to this faith, so it's good. You can be in a sinful lifestyle. You can be a sinful person and still be a follower of Christ. Sin can dictate your world, and you still can live this life. But we see that Paul's telling Timothy that people were leaving the faith, and the reason they were leaving the faith, it wasn't a biblical faith that we know and hopefully we worship and have cultivated here at Victory Church. It's a faith that they were leaving was false. And so it was okay that they were falling away, because we've talked about it. As somebody who has tasted the real goodness of Christ and who He is, you can't walk away from that. It's just not possible. It's too good to be true. It's beautiful. It's perfect. Why would anybody walk away? And so you see Paul is telling Timothy in verse 11, command and teach these things. He's saying, look, I'm commanding you. You need to stand on authority when you're creating this culture, when you're trying to get these people to understand what it looks like to be a healthy church. What's going on and what they know at this church of Ephesus has got to go away. You've got to go in there and you've got to replant. Which is, to be honest, is a lot harder to replant than it is to plant. Because you got to go in and you got to create this culture that a bunch of people don't know about, and they've already established their own culture. And so Timothy had this hard task ahead of him. And so he goes in there. Paul says, look, you need to go in there and you need to command these things. Have authority. And then he says, more than just authority. Don't go in there bossy. Don't go in there dictating. But he says, teach. He says, walk through them life. Show them what it looks like as you come in with authority. And then I feel like when Paul was writing this, he was like, man, Timothy's probably responding to this. Is how I go in there as this young guy, and how do I command these things? How do I teach these things when they're just going to say, well, you're too young. You're just a young boy. You don't have experience. You've never done this before. There's things going on in this church that you've never even seen. You're just getting your toes wet in ministry. Well, Paul says, look, Timothy, if that's your thought process, he says in verse 12, he says, don't let anyone despise your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Paul is telling Timothy there, look, I don't care if you're young. Don't let anybody look. Be a command. Come in there with authority and teach God's word and be faithful to it, and nobody will look down on you. If you walk the walk and talk the talk, if you do it all together, then nobody will do it, because you're preaching God's word. You're being faithful to it. He said, be an example. Not just go up there and preach. Not just go up there and command and teach. But live out what you're commanding and what you're teaching. Look what he says, just to break it down just a little bit. As we see this Paul's telling Timothy in love and in conduct and faith and purity. This is what it could look like to us. The speech that he's talking about is how you talk reveals what's in your heart. Your conduct, your integrity and daily action builds credibility. Your love, do people experience the love of Christ through you? Your faith, like you actually believe in the gospel is true. your purity. Guard your life so nothing discredits your witness. Before we preach from our lips, we must preach with our life, is what Paul is telling Timothy here. It's like, don't let anybody despise you of your youth. Don't let anybody do this. Command and teach these things. Be an example. As you preach to them, let your life show that you're a follower of Christ. Let your life show that you love Jesus. Let your life show that the gospel has completely transformed who you are and what you do. Let your life show that when you're going to try to shake this church up to be what God called us to do as the church of Ephesus, don't worry about the outsiders. Don't worry about the voices. Just be faithful in these things and be faithful in who God's called you to be and how he's changed your life. And so from these two avenues that I said we were going to talk about, as you look, and we've only celebrated a year, and yes, we've grown, and we see new faces almost every week, and then we see people leave for seasons, and they come back. All in 1 year, a lot's happened. But if God's called us as a church to multiply, to reach people for the lost, we can't worry about that we've only been in existence a year. We can't worry about what these things look like. Yes, things cost money, but I promise if we're just faithful to what God's called us to do, things will provide. And in your life, maybe you're not in this context of being young or whatever, but are you being faithful in the way you talk, your conduct, your love, your faith, your purity, your speech? Are you being an example to the believers in those things? Is your life showing a sermon? Is your life your first sermon? Is it showing the gospel? Is it pouring out of you? Because look what he says after this. After he just told Timothy, look, you need to show what your heart reveals. You need to show that you just actually believe in the gospel. You need to do these things. This is what he says. He says in verse 13, until I come, give your attention to public reading, exhortation, and teaching. Be faithful to the preaching. Be faithful to the word of God. And then look what he says in verse 14. He says, don't neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through the prophecy and with the laying of your hands and by the council of elders. We saw back in chapter 1 or chapter 2, I believe, that Paul was telling Timothy right before he said, kick the people out of the church that were causing issues. He says, remember your calling. Remember what God has set in front of you. Remember what God has called you to do as a follower of Jesus and what he's called you to do in the church of Ephesus. And so right here, when he tells us, until I come, give your attention to the public reading, the exhortation, and teaching. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. It was given to you through the prophecy with the laying of your hands by the council of elders. My challenge for us is, if our life is our first sermon, be faithful to what God has called you to do. In this church, at work, and at home, in your family, he has called you to do something. Be faithful to it. And how do we be faithful to it? He says it right above that. Be faithful to the reading and exhortation and teaching of the word. Read God's word. And then look what he says in verse 15. He says, practice these things. He says, be committed to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Be committed. Some translations say soak in, or the Greek word really means to emerge into it, to let it form you. And so when I was reading this and reading the Greek word, the thought that came to my head was at camp, we would always play this game where the first person would dip the sponge, and then you got to go over and under and over and under. And the game depends on how good the first person emerges that sponge in the water. If they barely put it in the water, by the time it gets to the fourth person, you're not putting anything in the bucket at the end. Your team's going to lose. But in reality, what Paul's telling Timothy here is that if we stay faithful to this and that we stay committed to what God's called us to do, that the progress will be evident to all. Just like in this game, is that the first person really soaks that sponge in, gives it a good squeeze, and takes in the water, and then we faithfully put it behind us and under our legs. By the time it gets to the end bucket and we squeeze, the water's going to drip out, it's going to flow, and it's going to be evident that the team was doing its job. If we're faithful to it and what God has called us, and we say that we're committed to what God has called us to do, and when I say committed, we're soaking into it, we're taking it all in and saying, look, we know as a church, I've heard it from day one that we're going to be faithful and we're going to start another church in the first 5 years. Then every step we do in a visual from here to me to you, we're going to do our part to be faithful to that goal and to that task. And then even deeper, from a personal standpoint, if you're, say, you're committed to what it looks like for God is calling you to do, to be a leader in the church, to be a faithful member in the church, to just be faithful to the gospel that you believe in, you're committed to it. That means you're going to do your part. That what Paul says to Timothy is that it is evidence that your progress, the movement, it will be evident to all. And then he says in verse 16, he says, pay close attention to your life and your teaching. Preserve in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul's telling Timothy, hey, when you're faithful to what God's called you to be, you're faithful to the gospel, and you're committed to the gospel being spread, and you're faithful to people seeing what it looks like to love Jesus and what it really means to love Jesus through your life and through the evidence of all those things. If you just bowing down and submitting to the gospel, people are going to come to know Christ. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. The guy that was trying to sell me the car said that the reason he doesn't go to church is because the people inside the church. And to him, excuse or not an excuse, a good excuse or a bad excuse, the reason he doesn't go to church is because the people who sit in the church don't live the gospel they say that has transformed their life. They weren't committed to it. They weren't faithful to it. They weren't willing to act like they love Jesus. They just wanted the benefits of loving Jesus. And what Paul's telling Timothy here is, look, I sent you to go reshake this church up because they are heathens. And they're being sinful people, and they're making God's church look like not what the biblical church looks like. I need you to go shake this up. People are going to give you all this crud. You just remember what God's called you to do. This is the second time he's told him to remember what God's called him to do. It had to be hard. It had to be. My thoughts are is that we need to stay faithful to what God's called us to do and remember what God's called us to do because it's going to be hard. Just in short few verses and chapters, Paul's telling Timothy again, remember where you came from. Remember why you're there. Stay faithful to the word. Stay faithful because it's going to be hard. Let people see that you love Jesus in the way you talk, the way you act. Nothing has changed from then to now. Because if Paul's telling Timothy, you need to be faithful in your conduct, your speech, your integrity, your purity, because people are watching and you're not going to be able to shake this church upside down and make it look like a biblical church if you're not living for the gospel. Same thing now, us at Victory Church, everybody that's worshiping in a church right now, if we're not faithful in our purity and our speech and our heart and all those things, then how are we going to bring people to know Christ? Because we say that we love Christ, but we don't act like Christ. That's the problem. Nothing has changed. Yes, the context is here is that Paul's telling Timothy, as a pastor, you need to do these things. But again, he's telling them, you need to live this, be the example, because people are watching. And he says, both yourself and the hearers will be saved in verse 16. It's that easy to share the gospel. Just live like you know the gospel. It's easy. I promise you, if you just act like you love Jesus, just act like it. It's contagious. The problem is, we don't act like we love Jesus. Maybe on a Sunday. Maybe at a Bible study. But when I'm away from the church, when I'm away from my church family, or when I'm away from the things, as we kind of trend towards looking like this false Jesus that we've created and want Jesus to be. So does your life is your first sermon. Here's a good illustration. A lighthouse doesn't have to shout to be seen. It just has to shine. Your life is your light. Your first sermon isn't preached from a pulpit. It's lived out in how you walk with Christ. Your life is your first sermon. And so how is our speech? How is our conduct? How is our love? How is our faith? How is our purity? How does it show and point people to Jesus? That's what it is. I shared last week that I was being told by my family that I'm in a bad mood, and I'm in a bad mood, and about after the 30th time being told I was in a bad mood, you guys remember what I said? Now I'm in a bad mood. That wasn't godly conduct. That wasn't godly speech. that moment, if somebody from the outside would have been watching, I would have pushed them farther away from Christ instead of closer to who he is and who he is in me. Our life is our first sermon. Our life needs to be our sermon. Key truth number two is build a culture that multiplies leaders. Look at 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2. Paul tells Timothy here in chapter 5, don't rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, a younger man as a brother, older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters with all purity. You're probably like, what the heck does that mean? Well, here, let's break it down, because I said that when I read it. Here's a good quote. Paul shifts from Timothy's personal life to his relationship in the church. He says, treat older men as fathers, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters with absolute purity. He says, this is family language. The church isn't a business or a club, it's a family. And in a healthy family, people grow, take responsibility, and pass wisdom to the next generation. And so as we look at what it looks like to build a culture that multiplies leaders, I think of this picture. Is on Friday, we went to a wedding of a girl that was in my student ministry. And to see what God has done in her life is incredible. I will share that I'm thankful that I did not lead her to the Lord, but I got to be a part of it. Her sophomore, junior year in high school, we rarely never really saw her. Didn't know her very well. One day she showed up in our Sunday school, and I walked in and I said, oh, hey, haven't seen you in months. Because, you know, that's what I say. I say the right things at the right time. And she goes, yeah, I decided I'd come today. And I said, well, you know we're leaving for camp, right? She goes, yeah. I said, you know there's an extra spot if you want to go. I'll be honest with you, there wasn't an extra spot. I completely lied. But I really wanted her to go. And so I called camp, and I said, look, I just told a girl that there's an extra spot. You've got to make an extra spot. And so they made a spot for her. During that week, God drastically changed her life. She came to know the Lord, and it was just incredible. And we never not saw her after that moment. She graduated, went on to MBU to pretty much be like a track star. An incredible human, and got married, invited us. We got to see her, and just incredible things. But as I was sitting there and I was pondering on things, I'm seeing her mom crying and her dad crying, and it's like we lost our baby girl kind of thing. And I looked at Briley and I said, you know, you're not allowed to get married till you're 40, because I'm already thinking about that and I'm about to cry. But as I'm reading this text and I'm thinking of this story, the church and the family were called to multiply. And I remember my first time going to a family reunion and seeing a bunch of family that I didn't know. If the church would have just stayed this little church, or the Franks family would have just stayed the Franks family and made no more kids and all that, it would have eventually died. It would have been done. There would have been seven of them, no grandkids, no great-grandkids, and it never spread from that. Seeing this, as we always make jokes that Briley's not allowed to get married till she's 45, I remember making that joke again the next day, and Corley's like, do you really want that for her? And I'm like, no, but for me, I do. The reality is just like in the church world, is we want to multiply, we want to send people out, and we want to see people come to know Christ, and we want to create this multiplying movement. Just like in the family, I want Briley to get married to somebody that loves Jesus, and they have kids, and then she disciples them. And as they grow up and get older, they marry people who love Jesus, and then they have kids and they disciple them, and it just keeps on going. So the Frank's name or whatever her new name will be just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. It doesn't matter what we want. It doesn't matter if we don't think we can do it. What Paul's told Timothy in just these few verses is just stay faithful to the gospel and watch the gospel spread and watch lives change for the good. Just be faithful to it. Let God use you. Let your life be a sermon. Let your life be a multiplication movement. Build a culture that multiplies and disciple. And so what Paul's telling here in these weird verses of letting the older man as a father and a younger man as a brother and older women as a mother and the younger women as a sister with all purity, what Paul's telling Timothy is, look, build a healthy church family. Let the people in the church see brothers and sisters and fathers, spiritual heroes, and all these things. Create this culture. Because one day, the old will pass, the young will become old. And if you keep it in this centered circle, and you don't stay faithful to what God's called you to do in life and in church, it dies. Your faith doesn't die because you're worshiping Jesus with an open arms and in person. But when we're faithful to what God has called us to do as individuals to a church, this is what's going to happen. Is why not in 20 years they're making a video about Victory Church and how many people have come to know Christ because we were just obedient and saying, look, we can send people out because it's not about how much people we have here on a Sunday. It's about how many people are worshiping Jesus every day. What if it was about the men and women in this church pouring into each other, no matter the age? We look up to the older as spiritual heroes and maybe the other way around, but we've got to create a culture of multiplication. I love this. I read this in an article. It said, older believers should be respected, younger believers should be empowered. To have a multiplication mindset, don't just consume, raise up other leaders, make leaders. Purity in relationships, trust and safety are vital for healthy discipleship. And then it says, think of a relay race. It doesn't matter how fast you run, if you drop the baton, the church must pass the faith on. We're not here to individually grow. We're here as we individually grow to pass on and disciple others. As we see in Scripture in Matthew 28, go make disciples of all nations. As you go in life, make disciples. So here's the challenge. As the praise team comes back up and we look at what God is calling us to do and be and all those good things, is one way to do church God's way and building from the ground up and to live the gospel is to be obedient to Him, to be faithful to it. Keep your yes on the table, what God can use you and how He can use you for however long you're at Victory Church. We are called to be faithful in the way we speak, be faithful in the way we live, be faithful in all those things. And Paul told Timothy the way to do that is to be faithful in the word and let people see the gospel live throughout you. And as I promise you, as Cape Girardeau sees Victory Church and the people inside Victory Church, above all things, my prayer is they see a bunch of people who just love Jesus and want to worship Jesus in and throughout their lives. And because we love Jesus and have lived Him in and throughout our lives, others are coming to know Christ, even if it's not at Victory Church. Even if somebody here today, in a year, 3 years, and 4 years, we're praying for them on stage with a handful of people and saying, look, this is a goodbye for now, but we're in work together to see more people come to know Christ. Let nobody despise us of our youth. Just stay faithful to what God has called us to do as a church and as an individual. We got work to do. Because there's a lot of lost people in our neighborhoods. You walk out that door and it is a buffet of people who need to know Christ, and it can start with us. Right outside those doors, there's 30 to 40 ping pong balls of lost people who need Christ. We need to be faithful to what God's called us to do. Live out the gospel and go tell people that, hey, you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And I can tell you about Jesus and how He came to love us. He was put on a cross for the sins of this room and the sins of this world. And He bled and He said, tetelestai, it is finished. The debt is paid. Your sentence is paid for. And they threw Him in a tomb and He raised from the dead and said, look, I'm King of Kings, I am God. And all you have to do is bow down and believe and trust and repent of your sins. He did all the work. And if you say that you believe that here today, then our lives need to show that we believe it. And one of the ways it shows that we believe it is we tell people about how much Jesus loves us. Because if He drastically changed your life, we cannot hold it in us. We are called to do big things and not just shake up the church of Ephesus like Paul told Timothy, not just to shake up the church of Victory Church, but we got to shake up this county. We got to shake up this country. We got to shake up this world because there's people who need to know Jesus and we have it. Let's go be obedient. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. And Father, we just ask for you to move in a mighty way. Father, there's anybody in this room that doesn't know what it looks like to be a follower of Christ, Lord, I pray at this moment right now that you just put an overpowering abundance over their hearts and over their mind and over their ears, that that's all they hear is, look, you don't know me, you don't know me, you don't know me. And Father, I pray that you open their eyes to their sin for the first time, that they see that they're in need of a Savior and that you provide a solution, the work you did on the cross and off the cross. And Father, for somebody in this room that is not doing what God has called them to do, Father, I pray that the same thing, that you put it over their ears and their hearts. And Father, if there's anything that needs to be made right in this room, Father, again, I pray that you put it over our hearts and over our ears, and that's all we hear. And so if we need to respond up here, talk to me, talk to somebody next to us, take a time of prayer at the front, Father, we all have a time to respond, and we just want to be faithful to what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.